We have a word from the Lord whose biblical text is found in the book of St. John, chapter number 1. We're rolling. And also, thank you for visiting our website. If you're listening right now, www.aaa2040.com. That's aaa2040.com. How many of you have visited the site? Amen. If you have not, it's real simple, www.aaa2040.com. And the word is definitely on there. Praise the Lord. St. John chapter number 1 and verse number 14, in your hearing, simply says, "And the word," capitalized, "was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for honoring our custom of standing during the word. We can't add anything to God by standing, but we can honor him by standing. Look at your neighbor and say, "He is." And all you have to do is leave the blank open, and you fill that in for whatever you need God to be in your life. When we look at St. John chapter number 1, verse 14, I want us to focus in on the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In parentheses, at least in this version, it says, "And we beheld his glory." And when Apostle John was talking about beholding the glory of the Lord, people who knew who Jesus was trusted him completely. Part of the reason why they trusted Jesus was due to the fact that he had compassion on the brokenhearted. And Jesus touched lives wherever he went. And so now we wear our trendy and cultural bracelets of "What would Jesus do?" He certainly wouldn't dog me the way that you do. He certainly wouldn't walk past me. He would stop and even touch and talk to those with full-blown AIDS, lepers. That's what would be the equivalent to in this time. And he did not mind touching the eyes of the blind. And he did not mind touching the ears of those who were deaf. The Bible says that Jesus cured the lame as well. I notice how Jesus spoke a word and the lame were healed. But after Jesus ascended, we see the teachings of the Gospels explain to us that there is a certain measure of initiative that had to take place from the person who needed that healing. They had to take up their bed and walk. It's really interesting to see that while Jesus was on the scene, he spoke a word and things happened, but after he left, it took people's faith in Jesus' presence. You had to believe in him even though you could not see him, although he was a healer. And he wanted to make a distinction that it was not in his physical presence, but indeed in the faith that God's power could heal. Otherwise, we could not be healed unless we were touched by another human being. But Jesus says you have to take up your bed because it's symbolic of you being able to take responsibility for the thing you chose to lay in. The man who was laying at the gate for those many years was not forced to lay there. He victimized himself, waiting for someone to assist him. And when Peter walks by, he says, you know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. You take up your own bed and walk. There was no revival. It was simply a man taking initiative and walking out his healing. So God is a healer, but the healing does not manifest unless we take action. We can have faith, but without works, what does the Bible say? It is dead. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was also a fantastic scholar. He was one who was very astute in the gospel and a theologian of unparalleled proportion. And Jesus, at 12 years old, was able to teach grown men about the word, which is not surprising because he was the word. And the word was with God, and it wasn't just with him. The word was God. And so it didn't matter what age he was, the word was already an adult. Praise the Lord. The word in him had already come into full maturation. However, he told his mother, I know I have the power to turn this water into wine, but woman, it's not time for that side of me to be revealed. You have to be careful of people trying to make you walk into a gifting of yours that you know was there, but it's not time yet for it to manifest. And people will rush you into it prematurely, knowing that you are not ready for that position. You have the zeal, but you do not have the knowledge. Jesus not only had the gift of healing, the gift to cure people, the gift to touch people, but he also had wisdom to go along with it. Because anointing without precision and understanding is disaster. Go to St. John chapter number 7 and verse number 15. You have to understand that Jesus was an anomaly. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have a marketing team. He just was accessible to the common man. He is. He is the average Joe with above average insight, to the point that he could not be identified by the soldiers who were after him because he looked so much like regular people. He didn't make a big deal out of himself, but he saw more power in slipping through the side door than busting through the front door. And if you don't know him in spirit, you'll be praying for God to show up and don't even know he's in the crowd with you. St. John chapter number 7 and verse number 15, when you have it, say amen. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus never attended seminary. Jesus never went to Bible college. Yet it was within him to know how to move and rightly divide asunder the soul and spirit with the word. And he knew how to be distinguished in his approach. He never condescended his subjects, but before he would teach, he understood that the average person would have faith to digest the word, so he performed something that their eyes could see. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But because his subjects did not know about the word like we know about the word, he first had to manifest something for their eyes to see. And then following the miracle was to captivate the audience's attention. Then he would feed them because he knew they wouldn't listen unless their stomachs were full. And then they were standing on desert land, but before they sat down, he turns the desert sands into green grass so that the people who were going to sit under his teaching would be comfortable while he was administering. He didn't have to be taught. Tell somebody you can't teach God anything. You can't teach him how to do anything. You can't show him how he can do something better. You can't show him how to make it right. Everything that God does is right, and it's yes, and it's amen. St. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 47. Tell someone he is. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers, because Jesus knew how to discern a rhetorical question. When people ask you things that they already know the answer to, that's called a rhetorical question. You don't need to answer a fool according to his folly. Jesus got out of the traps of all of these highfalutin elders and bishops, all trying to trip him up with the law of Moses, seeing if Jesus was going to destroy the law or break it. When Jesus said in his word, "I did not come to destroy the law, but I have come to fulfill the law." Jesus, he is fulfillment. He is everything you need. He is fulfillment. It's not just a moment or a temporary sensation that people can give you when they feel you. But when Jesus is in your heart, when Jesus is in the fullness of your life, he gives you fulfillment. That when you are disappointed by human beings, you still feel full and satisfied, because you're no worse off. You was broke before and you had Jesus. You got money and you got Jesus. You lost the money you got and Jesus was still there. How are we able to go through ups and downs in life? It's because money is not the fulfillment and relationships is not the fulfillment. But tell your neighbor, he is the ultimate fulfillment. When you can't be satisfied, understand that the flesh is insatiable. It always wants something more. But one encounter with Christ can change your very appetite. One encounter with the Master can change your outlook on a situation. That's why in St. Luke chapter number 2, they were astonished at his understanding. His answers were questions. He knew to watch for folks trying to trip him up. St. John chapter number 7, verse number 46, the officer's answer said, "Never had they heard a man speak like this." What manner of man is this? Not only is he a top master chef who can take 2 chicken McNuggets and 5 biscuits and feed 5,000 plus people. Not only is he the perfect concierge and someone in the very expensive restaurant with the very aged wine, he could turn plain tap water into wine. Not only does he know how to be the ultimate wine taster, he knows how to turn water into wine without having wine overtake him. So now he is a master chef that also has the temperance to be able to have clear insight about his future, because he's not a drunk. However, he did send back a new wine, and we are not drunk as you suppose. But this wine came from the true vine, connected to the root that is Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord Almighty. Mark 1 and 22 says, they were astounded at his doctrine. Understand that Jesus' teaching was revolutionary at the time. He didn't say tooth for tooth or eye for eye. He said, when your enemies hurt you, love on them. This is when you know that he is God in your life. He can't be God in your life if you're still in control of your life. And there was something about somebody who can trust God enough to even give their itinerary to the Father and say, if there's anything on my schedule that gets in the way of your purpose for my life, God, you are the perfect navigator.
You know how to show me which way to go. If I acknowledge him in all of my ways, he will direct my path. He is GPS. Without the system installed in my car, he is Google, because everything I have a question about, it's all in him. If I need to search, if I search diligently, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is my search engine, and those that seek after me, you will find. He is a locksmith. He knows how to open doors that others say are shut. He is whatever you need him to be. He's not coming. He is. You can't catch up with him because he's here already. When you try to chase back and look back at who he was, you won't find him there either because he already did it. He's not there. He's here and he's now. That's now faith. That's why he is whatever I need him to be. Glory to God. They were all amazed and spake amongst themselves, saying, what kind of a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. If the spirits aren't leaving, you don't have the power. We don't wrestle with devils at this church. They wrestle with themselves. When you know who he is, you don't entertain emotional foolishness in God's house. Because nothing is going to upstage the fact that he is. Not even your drama. Not even your issue. He is. Can I preach? Jesus, interestingly enough, knew how to defy death, because before death got a name, he named death. You have to remember that Jesus did not name Satan Satan. Lucifer named himself through pride. Jesus named him Lucifer. Lucifer smelled his own press and named himself Satan. So with Satan comes death. But because God is the creator of life and death, God is the creator of good and evil. Because live is evil backwards. He is both. God is divine, yet he is the epitome of vulnerable humanity, or else he could not have died for your sins. So here you have a juxtaposition. You have both sides of the coin, but his name is still quarter. Oh, glory. Jesus raised dead people back to life. The disciples went fishing all night long and caught nothing, but when Jesus stepped in, the fish no longer had to be sought. The Bible says that the magnetic power that was contained within Jesus, who happened to be from a fisherman's town called Galilee, not only said, we're going fishing, but the fishes were so excited that Jesus called their name. That their great-great-great-grandfather, the big old whale that swallowed up Jonah, had to let the new fish know that when Jesus says something, even to the aquatic kingdom, he has the power to do it, because not only can he speak to the water, he can walk on top of it. And the fish jumped inside of the net. You got to understand, Jesus didn't go fishing. The fishes jumped inside of the net. Because he is their creator. All power in the heavenlies. All power in the earth and all power in the underseas all belong to Jesus, because he is. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth, and the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Tell someone he is. He provided fish flowing in abundance. When Jesus is involved, it's not just enough. That's luck. When Jesus is involved, there's more than enough. If you barely making it, that's because you barely making it. But when Jesus steps in, he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. There's not, no, he almost didn't come through. No, when God comes through, everybody knows it was God that made a way out of no way. Touch someone and say he works in abundance. God doesn't just want to bless you. He want to make sure the people next to you can receive from your overflow. So you'll stop ministering out of a deficit and minister out of your abundance. Wow. Jesus touched every life that ever encountered him. And he still touches lives today. Those who have believed on him as the Savior know. Tell someone, I know. How do I know? I've suffered. And through suffering, I come to find out that it's in my lack that he is greater. It's in my weakness that his strength is made. Notice how God loves the vulnerability of his sons and daughters so he can show just how much daddy is in control. Ah, glory to God. In the absence of my parents, feeling as if I'm an adult orphan, it required God to become even that much more tangible to me. I have to let you know something. Without having the physical presence of parents, it can be very disillusioning. It makes you feel very scared because you are really on your own. But it forced me to have to depend on Jesus and to find out who he really is and all the forms that he could take. I had heard it traditionally in apostolic culture that he's a doctor in the sick room. I had heard that allegedly he was a lawyer in the courtroom. I heard that he's closer than a mother. He can be a father. He's a sister. He can also be a brother. I'd heard all of these things, but hunt someone and say, it's not till you go through stuff yourself that you come to find out who Jesus really is. As long as your physical crutches are still around you, you will depend on them and they will be your savior. But there's nothing like when you can't find anyone, when family members are not available, when you are out in a city that you've never heard of by yourself, and you have to trust the fact that God told you to leave where you were to get to where you are, but yet told you nothing about how things were going to be provided for. The Lord loves to send you to foreign places without understanding the full gamut of what you're getting into. But that's when God has to show himself strong. He has to raise a standard up against the enemy. God has been my comfort in the spirit of loneliness. God has been someone that has wrapped his hands around my mind and kept my mind centered when I used to still have dreams about how she smelled and how she looked and how she ministered. Jesus had to come in and say, I can be greater than anything Betty could ever be to you. I am greater than anything your father could be. See, that's what the scripture says. When your mother and father forsake you, or when they are absent, the Bible says the Lord will take you up. I don't know, some of you have lost your mothers in this congregation, and while you're listening to this sermon on the internet, and I'm here to let you know that God is there with you now. As you are listening to this, you are not alone. He is your friend. He is your mother. He is your father. He is your provider. The Lord himself shall return, because he is coming back. He's not sending someone else as a representative. He himself is coming back for us. And then they ask questions. So who is this guy? Who is this Jesus? Even Jesus asked the question, who do you say I am? Peter says, "Master, thou art the Christ." Peter was not filled with the Holy Ghost at the time. But Jesus replies back to Peter and says, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. The Holy Spirit has revealed it." You can't see who he is without the Holy Ghost. Without allowing the Holy Ghost to show you who Jesus is, you think he's absent. But when you have the Holy Spirit in the spirit realm, he shows you how God is even in drama, how God is even in calamity, how God serves a purpose even in tragedy. Can't get no help right there. But you'll come to find out that even in a blizzard, God is there. In the eye of the storm, God is there. Matthew 16:16. Peter stated, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus himself told us who he is. The great I am. He can only be called the great I am because he is the great I is. Oh, more than his who-ness and his what-ness, it's about God's is-ness. He is. He is the door of his sheep. You don't need people opening up doors when Jesus is the door. He is the great shepherd. If you do happen to come under some type of ministry that isn't preaching the gospel right and you have no covering, he is the great shepherd. We are the under shepherds, but he is the good great shepherd. He is the only way to God. I know people are preaching that there are multiple paths to God through meditation and you thinking good thoughts about yourself. But you cannot get to God except through Jesus. The church better say something up in here. Yes, there are multiple teachings and studies. But the only way you go to get to God is if your sins have been blotted out. And the only one that has made atonement for our sins is not Buddha. It is not Allah. I don't have anything against anyone else's religion. But not one of them jumped on the cross for my sins. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And he's the light. No man comes to the Father but by Jesus. All power in heaven and earth and in the universe belongs to Jesus. He is the only begotten Son. He is the only Son that God ever had. If he had two, this whole world would blow up just from having that much power in one stratosphere. One is good enough. The resurrection and the Son of God in life is Jesus Christ. So he is the church. He is God, and that God is in Christ. Jesus is church of God in Christ. Jesus established the church. He is God. Upon that rock, he built that church, and Jesus is God. So God is Jesus. He is. When you've seen him, you have seen the Father. Glory to God. Jesus is the only truth that can set us free. Everybody's lying, but I know the truth. The truth is Jesus. You want the answer to your life's problems? Jesus is the answer for the world today. To all of the confusion, Jesus is. Say he is. He is the first to try it and the first to succeed at it. He is the last word of every sentence. God can be your comma or he can be your period. He can say that's it and nothing else will happen. Or don't you write them off because there's some more words after the comma. Turn the page and see what I have to say about that brother. See what I have to say about that sister. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, all at the same time. Yet he is not in time. He is the bread of life which came down from heaven. That's why Satan, with his crooked self, tried to say, if you are God, if you indeed are the Christ, then turn these stones into bread so that Jesus would break his fast early. But he didn't need to turn stones into bread, because he was the solid rock already who did turn into bread. For he was the bread of life. He is the rock of the foundation of the church. He was the stone that the builders rejected. And he said, because they rejected me, I'm going to turn myself into bread. And whoever eats of this bread shall have everlasting life. Whoever drinks of my living water will never thirst again. Tell someone, he is my water. He is my rock. He is my sword. He is my shield. He is a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He'll never let me down. He's just a jewel that I have found. You rejected him, but I love to praise him just because he is, not because of what he does, but because he is. He is the Messiah. He is the soon and coming King. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, God strong and mighty. Hey. Hallelujah. He is the heavenly King. He is the Son of Man. He is the Christ and the only Messiah. He is the fulfillment of major prophets' prophecies. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was the one that was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He is the sun. He is the moon. He is the drum. He is the organ. He is the oil that is placed on my head. He is a lamp unto my feet. He is a light unto my pathway. He is a mighty fortress. He is my battle axe. He is my strong tower. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is, because he can just be whatever he wants to be. He is my rescue. He is my fortress. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. Notice how he only shows up in trouble. When everything is going right, when everything is neutral, you don't see Jesus around. But he makes sure that trouble finds its way to you, just so he can show you how he's the way maker. He allows the blockage on purpose to show you how he can bust doors wide open. He'll allow folks to tell you what you won't be, so he can step up in you and show them who he is. It's not I, but the Christ that is living on the inside of me. I have no desire for vindication, because he is my avenger. I don't have to use him for nothing. He uses me. I say, God, use me, because you know how to do what I'm trying to do. But when I try and fail, there is no failure in God. Does anyone know that he is in here? Praise him for the fact he is. Y'all can only run around the church when someone tells you what he's about to do. But I'm talking to the people that don't need him to do another thing. The fact that he died on the cross is enough for me. I just worship him because he is, he was,
He always will be. There is no beginning. There is no end. Everywhere I turn, He is. On the mountain, He is there. If I make my bed in hell, He is in hell with me. Somebody praise Him, because He is. Keep saying it, He is. Say it again till you feel it, He is.
He is, so let Him be. He is, so let Him be who He is. He is. My confidant. He is my everything. I'm not just saying a cliche. Now I know. He has to be everything to me. Because when I had everything, I didn't need Him. Now that I don't have, He is. You get to a point in your walk with God that your spirit is not satisfied. Thank God that He has been a fulfillment for me. Because as much as we pour out for our kids and our family, it's very simple to lose focus of the fact that it's not in your ability. But if God can't do it, it cannot be done. And if it's meant to be, it will happen without struggle. Things that are meant to be happen. And it flows, and it doesn't take years and months to get there. I'm here to let you know He is your affirmation today. That the tables have finally turned. You've suffered a while. Now, He can build on you. You feel it in your spirit. You're not just here on earth, but I don't have a building yet, maybe, but I'm established. My mind's mature. My spirit's grounded. My soul is balanced. I'm established. He can't build anything up until your foundation has been laid. Hallelujah. But you gotta suffer for a while. That means for a while. That means for a while. And no one knows how long each other's while is. But all of my appointed times, I will wait while my change comes. And while I wait, I will praise and not complain. But I will allow this process to work out whatever's in me that's not worthy to carry what He's about to bless me with. He is. Give God praise in this house. Now praise Him for me being able to complete my assignment today. Mother's gift today was getting up off of that couch, putting on that suit, putting on this robe, and putting on my strength and coming here today. one ever told us that the road would be easy. And when we think of the future, we think of the future with our present cast members in mind. But there's a possibility that by the time you write down what your idea is and when the goal is actually realized, some people may pass on along the way. But you take the strength that they have instilled within you to press forward even when you want to give up. He is my buoyancy when I want to drown. He is my peace when confusion is all around me. He is our Redeemer. And if you have not been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, how could you know who He is? You have to first repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You all have been baptized in Jesus' name. You all received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And after you go down in His name, can you say, brother, that you do feel different? The moment you came up, didn't you feel like everything was washed away, even though it was just regular tap water? But when we called the name of Jesus over that water, something happened. He is my focus. You know when things go wrong, you just like, you know what, I'm just going to drink. You know, there's so much going on, I'm just going to go ahead and smoke because I need to go into orbit. And I just want to thank God that I didn't go back. Lord knows when you hurting real bad, you don't even care if it's bad for you. You just want to escape. Y'all ain't going to be 100 with me. But church, your pastor passed his test this time. Why? Because of where we're going. I can't turn around now and my mother would not have it.